It's the Pirates Week for Sunday, January 11th, 2009.
Only FDC will not catch me, for I am quite elusive. Don't care what they say, I'm still a DJ, and I've got my life to live. I transmit our song, they say that it's wrong, 'cause I never paid them the dough. So curse ye, scallywags, you'll never take away my pirate radio. K-Y-A.
Well, I am Ragnar Danisjold, and you have once again found the Pirates Week, a show dedicated to pirate radio, concentrating on the shortwave spectrum, but we don't discriminate here. We cover all areas of AM, FM, medium wave. Hell, we would even do long wave if we could find a pirate down there. Pirates in the news stories this week include a brief overview of the Media Geek's annual FCC enforcement review with John Anderson, as well as some other news from around the blogosphere. We're going to go through several relevant forum posts on the internet, including the Free Radio Network and note stations logged per the Free Radio Weekly. A whole bunch of really good off-air recordings this week. Fair warning, one of which is not all that family-friendly, and a almost free antenna book offer from HCJB, a bunch of closing thoughts from me. Stay tuned, hold on to your butts, we got a real good show this week here on The Pirates Week.
Almost live from the Fooking Ionosphere, it's The Pirates Week with Ragnar Danisjold.
This last week have been, got a lot of snow this last week, and for some reason I wasn't getting very good reception here at my QTH, though I was watching the real-time loggings on the FRN. Stations were coming on air, but nothing here. Wonder if it was anything to do with the snow. Probably not. Anyways, let's continue on to get a really, really good show for you this week. I'd like to thank everyone who started following me on Twitter, as well as Paul the Media Geek for mentioning it on his blog that I was Twittering my logs as Pirates came on air. Like I said last week, this could be a very powerful tool if a couple more people started Twittering when stations came on. Kind of clears up the logs for a little bit more detailed logs, but gives everybody the heads up when Pirate radio stations are coming on air in the shortwave spectrum. You can follow me, of course, I'm Pirates Week on Twitter. Man, I'd also like to share with you a project that is in the works by members of the Bowling League. I don't think I have permission to share it with you yet, but a powerful tool is being constructed for the pirate radio community. I hope to be able to announce it in a few weeks. Till then, I can only tease you with the fact that a bozo bot is involved. With that, let's get into Pirates in the News. We got a bunch of stuff to cover, so hold on.
Pirates in the News.
We're going to start off this week from news from the blogosphere, and taking a look around the internet as the movie The Ship That Rocks, the release date is approaching, and more pirate material from the UK is showing up on my Google Reader stream. Probably, like I said, because of the approaching release date for The Ship That Rocks. Anyways, Pirate Radio Talk on the Bristol Indie Media blog. Bristol Wireless will be hosting a fascinating talk on UK pirate radio in the 1960s and 70s on Wednesday, the 14th of January, 8 p.m. at the Zoo Bar at the community center in Bristol. That's the UK. I found this on the Shortwave Central blog. Saturday's Irish Times had an article on the 20th anniversary of the close down of Ireland's pirate radio stations, with some comments now posted. New Year's Eve 1988 marked the end of one of the most fascinating and turbulent periods in Irish broadcasting. Some 20 years ago, at about this time of year, Irish radio became altogether less colorful when an estimated 70 pirate radio stations went off air voluntarily. The then Independent Radio and Television Commission had invited applications for broadcast license, but stipulated that anyone on air illegally after December 31st, 1988 would forfeit any chances of securing a license, and thus the pirates wanting licenses went off air voluntarily 20 years ago in Ireland. Also from the Radio Brandy blog, there was a story that all four tires on the Radio Brandy van at the California campus was found slashed. Radio Brandy attributes the vandalism to a story that they were covering regarding discrimination when it comes to code and law enforcement in northern Los Angeles County. Radio Brandy, of course, runs several LPFM and LPAM stations across the western U.S. as part of their mission to train young DJs at risk. Also found on the Radio Brandy's blog is the news item that the EDM is due to release an upgraded LCD transmitter. The new transmitter will have a higher output, up to 250 milliwatts. Not just a new transistor, but a new version of a new PCB and upgraded power supplies. More details to come, including a review on the Radio Brandy web pages. We'll be looking forward to that, and I'll be reporting on that here on the Pirates Week of the new transmitter as soon as it is released. And we have a interesting little story. We got a pirate in the news from Glenn Hauser's World of Radio, a great program, World of Radio, hosted by Glenn Hauser. There comes word of a South American pirate radio station. Take a listen to this from Glenn Hauser.
On the Kodish list, Rafael Rodriguez in Colombia reports hearing a pirate testing Radio Juventud on January 3rd. And since he still had their phone number, inquired about the situation. It seems they have three crystals, 5555, 5585, and 5590, although they may not be precise, and he was going to test again between 23 and 01 UT around 5588. Acker Peterson in Denmark checked this out and was hearing what he thinks was that station on 5554.99, January 5th into 6th, between 2305 and midnight 50 with 300 watts. Radio Juventud is in Pasto, Nariño Department.
Okay, what you have all been waiting for, the big news this last week was the annual State of Pirate Radio show on the Media Geek. Paul had John Anderson from DIY Media on. I'm going to share some choice clips with you, but this is a great show and I cannot do it justice. Go download the entire show from the Media Geek's website. That's radio.mediageek.net, or you can download it on rfprograms.com. I guarantee it is worth your time. This is going to run about 5 minutes, so take a listen to some of the areas Paul and John covered about the FCC and their enforcement action against pirate radio in 2008.
FCC enforcement right now is concentrated around very specific geographic areas. As it stands right now, Miami and the Miami-Dade Metroplex is still the hot spot for pirates. The FCC down there woke up in September and just went on a tear and sent out a lot of letters and things like that. Secondly, the number two place in the area for radio piracy is New York City and the surrounding the metropolitan area. So mm-hmm. if you included, say, like New Jersey's enforcement action with New York, that would top Miami.
Mm-hmm.
But first, as far as a single location goes, a single city goes, Miami's still on top, followed by New York. And those are really the top two. After that, things drop off dramatically. There seems to be a trend in the timing of enforcement action. It looks to be that the FCC, like there's a mandate from D.C. that says, you know, spend some time hunting pirates to show that we care. And then the field agents every month in their calendar mark out a day or two, and that's the day that they go and resolve the complaints that they've collected over the last few months, right? So, like, September 11th, for example, was a big pirate hunting day in Florida, in Detroit, in New York, in Massachusetts, right? Similar day in October, you know. The agents are going out, and they're doing it in a somewhat coordinated fashion. They've all picked roughly the same day or the same week to go out and actually do their pirate hunting business, and then they put it aside a month. So that's one thing that I noticed that was pretty interesting that I haven't seen before, is that multiple field offices are often active on the same day. And so the conclusion that I get out of 2008 is that 2009 is going to be a year of opportunity for unlicensed broadcasters. Without some sort of massive infusion of human resources, capital, and political will, the FCC has plateaued on its ability to go after pirates. It simply doesn't have the strength to shut much of anything down. It has reached its enforcement capacity. This is the best they can get.
It's sending out a bunch of letters, basically.
Without some sort of massive institutional reorganization and reprioritization of pirate radio as a top thing, there is no way the FCC can shut much of anything down. And in that case, we, meaning the unlicensed broadcast community, are winning, and we're winning big.
You know, there's still the promise of radio, which is an inherently local medium, and it is not dead and is useful. And if people have left radio, if people have quit listening, if people have quit using it, it's because radio has ceased to attend to their needs, be it as in their local community, be it their artistic druthers, be it the information that they need. And in many communities, pirate radio stations come up to fill that, right? But but pirate radio is a response to the monopolization, the oligopoly of a small number of players running the radio dials across the country by regulatory fiat, we might add, by congressional fiat.
But as far as from what I can see from the enforcement side of things, there are well over 1,000 pirate radio stations on the air in the United States right now. And that is a number that back in the late 90s, as you were talking about, when we had the micro radio movement, so to speak, pre-LPFM, that was a number that they were floating around as being the apex of the strength of the movement. And so because pirates these days, and I'm making a generalization here, pirates these days are not as explicitly political in their motive for going on the air, the FCC is handling the enforcement differently. Mm-hmm. And they have defaulted, I think, partially by necessity, due to the fact that they are so overwhelmed mm-hmm. with cases, to flinging paper around. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the best they can do. There are so many damn stations out there, there's only so much the FCC can do. And like I said, they come out with their clipboards, they get their signal strength measurements, they write down the coordinates, they get the addresses, they go back, they send a certified letter, and that's about as far as everything goes. And there's no, I have seen no correlation between getting a threatening letter from the FCC and a station going off the air. Hmm. The FCC will claim otherwise, but neither of us have the empirical data to prove it.
Hmm.
And who are you going to believe?
Breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law,
the FRN Forum postings.
Okay, now it's time to take a look around the internet for some forum postings, starting off like we always do with the free radio network, frn.net/vines. Mosby starts us off this week by asking why pirate operators broadcast. Cracker went on to attribute a gypsy debt. Bill Olright says it's just fun. Northwoods Radio mentions voices in his head. Wind Up Radio does it for the chicks. And Pigmeat blames the Amish. It's always those darn Amish. WBNY announced a new show in the works, the Good Monkey Club. He wants you to be in it. The commander requests commands that you send a audio clip in stating your name and then saying, "I'm a good monkey." Deadline is January 20th. Pat Murphy shares a new piece of gear that he got in his shack, a neon skull and crossbones from blacklight.com. Very cool looking. He says, went on to say that there is very little to no RFI generated from the little neon piece of kit for his new shack. There's also an ongoing interesting thread on the Yahoo tracking you started by Al Phantom. Interesting heads up with several ways to make your surfing more secure. Over in the LPFM section, Pat Murphy reposted an email about Pirate Radio USA. I downloaded and reviewed Pirate Radio USA when it came out a couple years ago. In my humble opinion, it's definitely worth the price and time to watch. It's a documentary on FM micropower and pirate radio scene around the time of the Battle of Seattle in 1999. DJ Him and DJ Her then head out cross-country to visit several pirate radio stations across the country. It's kind of a low-budget DIY media about pirate radio. The movie is definitely worth the price. I forget what it was, but it wasn't much. I downloaded it from their distribution site, B-Side. It's a B-Side. Had no problems, downloaded it, no DRM on the movie, and in fact, once I did, I was on the B-Side mailing list, which even went on to give me a credit or two to download a couple other movies free of charge, which was very cool of them. I have nothing but praise for this movie, Pirate Radio USA. It's a good rock. You know, I at one point was thinking about handing out the movie, you know, after I downloaded it, but you know, I have too much respect for these two, and definitely worth your time to download and watch Pirate Radio USA. Okay, continuing on, taking a look at who has been on air this last week from the pages of the Free Radio Weekly, number 674, dated January 9th, 2009, covering free radio activity from the 3rd to the 9th, 2009. Stations being heard this last week on air include the stations of Radio Azteca, Radio First Termer, Radio Pigmeat International, Random Radio, Undercover Radio, WBNY Radio Bunny, and WDDR. And I went on then to take a look in the logging sections of the FRN, and there's been some new stations on air this last week, at least stations I haven't heard of before. That includes Godzilla Radio, Outhouse Radio, and Bowel Movement Radio. In fact, I think we have a off-air segment coming up from Bowel Movement Radio. Heads up on that one. It's not for the faint of heart. You know, the creativity of shortwave pirates never ceases to amaze me. Bowel Movement Radio. Okay, QSLs being received this last week include the stations of WEAK sent a QSL via email 24 hours after a FRN report by William K. Hertz. Very cool. Radio Azteca sent a replacement rejection card from to Bill Finn for a 1992 broadcast on 7415 that apparently Bill lost. Radio Azteca, the rejection card. You must have a very detailed report to get the QSL from Radio Azteca. And Gospel for Antarctica sent out QSLs to both JTA and Chris Lobdell. Very cool.
Time now for Pip the Podcast on WBNY. Join Ragnar Danisjold at www.piratesweek.info for his in-depth weekly podcast on pirate radio and his reflections on his life as a monkey. Write it down, monkeys. That's Ragnar's Pirates Week podcast at www.piratesweek.info. Tune in next time when we pip the podcast for another monkey in pirate radio. Pip the Podcast is a leisure service of the People's Committee in solidarity with rodent freedom fighters. Void where prohibited by cracker. Only two to a customer. Not valid in New Jersey, Nevada, or Iowa. Pip the Podcast, a Bunny News Network production.
All right. Hey, best part of that is Void Where Prohibited by Cracker. Very cool. Hey, the bumper coming into the off-air segment is turning out to be a free-for-all. You're never sure what you're going to get. Okay, let's start off the off-air recordings this week, like kicking on the radio here a second. Nope, nothing. Though just a couple minutes ago, I heard a really, really strong het. What is it? 1440 UTC here this Sunday morning. And like I said, had a really strong het coming on just a minute or two ago. Maybe someone somewhere is hearing something. Okay, let's get into some off-air recordings. First recording is from Leonard. He caught WEAK Week Radio on his ICOM 756 Pro on a 40-meter Carolina Wyndham wire antenna, 6934.5 in the AM mode. This is going to be Week signing off on the 1st of January 2009 around 013 UTC SINPO 53444. He said it was coming in S9 blasting in, which is kind of odd for WEAK for being a weak station. Let's take a listen to Weak Radio.
Shadows of Night from the northwest suburbs of Chicago back in the middle 1960s, around 1965. This is WEAK Chicago, Chicago's very own WEAK. You can write to WEAK at WEAK_Chicago@yahoo.com. Again, WEAK_Chicago@yahoo.com. WEAK_Chicago@yahoo.com. Today we featured tunes by Chicago, and I had some interviews of people I did at a shopping mall in the western suburbs of Chicago, asking them what they were going to be doing on New Year's Eve. You are WEAK South Status Cachenda WEAK in Chicago. WEAK_Chicago@yahoo.com. Again, WEAK_Chicago@yahoo.com. This is the end of our broadcast on approximately 6935 on your shortwave dial. And we're running out of the time allotted. So we're just going to end it here. We featured Chicago. Shadows of Night, who did Gloria and two other tunes. I'm your host, Leonard Longwire. You are listening to WEAK Chicago. That was Fidus Kachenga, WEAK in Chicago. Nighty night.
Yeah, I know that went a little long, but haven't had a real good copy on WEAK, and that was one of the best receptions I have heard of Week in a while. Continuing on, WDDR, I recorded 6925 upper sideband on the 6th of January, around 2115 to 2130 UTC, SINPO 24232. WDDR, big ID at 2115. He was playing a bunch of heavy rock and roll on the, you'll hear an AM hum, and it's probably WBNY warming up, who came on directly after sign off. Take a listen to WDDR.
I think all of you have already sent in your QSO request. If you'd like to be among them, send yours to WDDR Worldwide, P.O. Box 69, Elkhorn, Nebraska, 68022. I say again, WDDR Worldwide, P.O. Box 69, Elkhorn, Nebraska, 68022. And you'll get beautiful QSL cards for your trouble. Thanks for listening in 73. WDDR Worldwide.
next, we have Radio First Termer. I recorded 6925 Upper Side Band on my Drake SW8 on the 7th of January, around 2130 to 2200 SINPO 34443. Classic Dave Rabbit playing Vanilla Fudge, Three Dog Night, Birds, and other Vietnam-era rock and roll. Take a listen to Radio First Termer.
Again for Pete and myself. No, not the end of the program. But both of us are getting kind of horny and kind of hungry at that. So we're going to go down the hall and give us a big, juicy twat burger. So as soon as we go down and have a quick bite to eat, a box lunch or something, we'll be back for another hour and a half of hard acid rock music. We're now going to return you to the regular crappy programming of the American Forces Vietnamese Network. You know what I'm saying? You're a count. We'll give you about another 30 minutes.
The Web down in Florida on his Drake SW8 caught Bowel Movement Radio, 6925 Upper Side Band, the 6th of January, around 0120 UTC. Warning, yeah, this may not be entirely family-friendly with a name like Bowel Movement Radio. You know what's upcoming, so stand back and take a listen to Bowel Movement Radio. Okay, let's get one last off-air recording in the mix here today. Zane Radio in Chicagoland caught Radio Pigmeat International on the 4th of January, 6950 AM, SINPO 35423. Says it's a pretty strong signal with some deep fades into Chicago, but a very nice audio quality of Radio Pigmeat International.
That groove and structure that American rock and roll and blues have, you know, come from the same roots. Hope you all enjoy this, and here we go.
The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's PiratesWeek.info.
Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all?
Okay, boy, this is going to run a little long this week, but let's get into it. Other radio news. The Shortwave Listening Fest is getting into high gear. Let's take a listen to the particulars with Marie Lamb of DXing with Cumbre.
This is the time of year for people to start planning to attend the Winter Shortwave Listener Festival in Culpsville, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the United States. And for those of you who might be thinking of doing the 22nd festival, it will be held March 13th and 14th of this year. It will be at the Inn at Toamensin, a Best Western hotel, at 1750 Sumneytown Pike in Culpsville, Pennsylvania. 19443 is the postal code. Their telephone number is country code 1-215-368-3800. So you might want to keep that number in mind if you want to make room reservations. And as they mention on the Winter SWL Fest site, room reservations are your responsibility. They are not included in the festival registration fees. And starting right around now, call or fax the Inn directly and ask them about the special event rate, which is not available through any website or the 800 number reservation system for Best Western. So that phone number again, country code 1-215-368-3800, or you can fax them at country code 1-215-368-7824. And you can find out more information on the festival website. It is simply swlfest.com, SWLFEST.com. Also, if you want to request a registration form or send something in, or if you want to write with any inquiries for the organizing committee members, John Figliozzi or Richard Cuff, here is the postal address for them. Winter SWL Festival, P.O. Box 4153, Clifton Park, New York, 12065-4153. And if you're requesting a registration form or you need a reply to a question, please make sure to include a number 10 business size self-addressed stamped envelope and make sure to get that to them as soon as possible. And again, more information is available and it will be updated regularly as they know more about speakers and events. Just go to swlfest.com. And also, we do have the email address here for Richard Cuff. If you want to get in touch with him personally by email, his address is rdcuff@gmail.com. That's rdcuff, like the cuff of a shirt, rdcuff@gmail.com. And as Richard says, tell your friends and others who don't participate on the SWL Fest mailing list. Of course, if you would like to be part of that mailing list, you can go to montreal@cotalampi.com. Cotalampi is spelled KOTALAMPI.com/mailman/listinfo.swlfest, and you can sign up for the mailing list to get more information about the fest as it gets closer.
Well, I also have something very cool you may want. Actually, I don't have it, but Graham from HCJB-DX Party Line is offering the Antenna System Handbook. I picked up one of these at the Winterfest a few years ago. I can't find it this morning, but I remember it being about 10 or 15 pages covering many different wire antenna designs, presumably for receiving HCJB. Take a listen to how to get your antenna handbook for, I think it's just $1. So a very good offer from HCJB. Take a listen to this.
Let me remind you that we have a free booklet available for you titled Antenna Systems Handbook. It's a simple guide with several antenna ideas to hopefully help you improve your reception. If you would like a copy, please write to me at my Melbourne address or to Radio Miami International, and we'll be happy to get a copy in the mail to you. If you can include $1, one international reply coupon, or several unused stamps good for first-class postage in the U.S., Canada, New Zealand, or Australia, it would be greatly appreciated. This helps quite a bit in recovering the cost of the mailing. To ask for a copy of the Antenna Systems Handbook, please write to the DX Party Line, HCJB, Box 691, Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, 3001. Or to the DX Party Line, WRMI, Post Office Box 52-68-52, Miami, Florida, in the United States. The postal code 33152.
Well, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Pirates Week. You can always get a hold of me at my email address, piratesweek@gmail.com. Make sure you swing by the website, piratesweek.info. And that's going to wrap up this edition of the Pirates Week. So what did we learn this week? Well, we learned that wind-up radio does it for the chicks. And I can do a show without anything from This Week in Amateur Radio. And the Pirates are winning the war against the FCC. That's it. We're out of here. See you next week, and as always, thank you for listening.
From the Boat Anchor's soft glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web, we meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week.
That's piratesweek.info.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.